Over the past 5 weeks, I think it's been 5 weeks now that we've looked at spiritual growth, series of messages, concluding this morning with a bit of an overview of what it means to build our faith, those building blocks of faith. And as I said, we're going to finish and share in communion as we wrap up our service this morning. And before I forget, I need to just do a word of thanks to Marty. He was there, to Katie Bowman, and to Jeff Dipple for sharing over the last 2 weeks. Just so much appreciate how you've shared personally, deep vulnerability, insight, sharing your walk of faith, your walk of growing through tough times, the challenges of understanding our world and understanding ourselves at times. So thanks for being real and being honest and for sharing your faith walk with God. And I know two of them aren't here right at the moment, but I know that I appreciate it. And I know from the words that I've heard from you folks as well that you greatly appreciated their input. Building blocks of faith. And I know with this one topic, it's such a massive topic, you could go in 101 directions. But I want to tackle five, just what I consider to be some key areas of building blocks of my faith. It's so vital and so much a part of spiritual growth. Ephesians 2 verse 8, foundational verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. I want you to take just a moment to reflect on your salvation experience. Reflect on that time when you said, Jesus, I'm done. I give. I need you. I need you to do a work in my life. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. What do you recall? What do you remember about that moment of saying to Jesus, to Christ, to the Father, to say, I need you to take over my life. I need you to clean me up. Was it as a child, as an adult? Was it simply a moment? What was the progression and process of time that brought you to that point of saying, done, I give, I need you, Father? For me, it was around age 12. And I grew up in a Christian home, a church family. Salvation, though, for me was really very much of a process, a progression of faith steps, and finally, but a vital time of coming and saying, as a child, as a kid, really, I mean, in some ways, I look back now, and that was a very immature process, and a childish process to finally say, but Jesus, I need to say something to you, and I need to invite you to do a work in my life, and I remember that time, but it was really a progressionary process for me of coming to Christ. It was a decision of faith. As I look back, yeah, pretty childish. And there was a lot of immaturity. In many ways, I look back and I'm saying, I knew this little bit of this God that I saw in others. And hopefully, I believe that process and that God, that understanding has grown over these years. This past Thursday, sat around a table with a group of Brethren in Christ pastors that I get together with periodically. And it just struck me again how different our walks are, how different our relations are with God, how different our process of getting to know God has been. Two of the individuals around the table talked about growing up in a non-Christian home, non-faith-based family. One then becoming, through involvement in another youth group, coming to know Christ and becoming a believer. The other in his late 20s, a unique experience of coming to know Christ. Others around the table, much like me, growing up in a Christian home, one or two with parents who were pastors. But the common thread, the common reality for each one of us, that each of us were saved by grace. Each of us came to a point of saying, I need your forgiveness, Father. I am a sinner. I need you to do a work in my life. Saved by grace. A step of faith. Of saying, I have nothing to bring except myself and my mistakes and my sin and my whoever's, but God, you've created me and you love me, and I'm going to ask and invite you to take charge in my life. Salvation, saved by grace, drawn, pulled by a God who loves us and loved me into a relationship. Saved by grace through faith. But again, I love the fact that Paul also reminds us in that verse, but that faith, that grace, it's a gift. It's a pure gift. It's nothing that I've done, nothing that I'm worthy of. It's gift. Second step of faith. God calls us to live by faith. Romans 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So it isn't just a righteousness that brings me to salvation. It's a righteous will live by faith. And so what does that look like? How do we learn to live by faith? Well, from the scriptures, did we lose me or something? It sounds different. No? Okay, we're good. Great. From the scriptures and from that verse there, it says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. From the example of people as we read scripture. From the example of Christ, the living word, his example, his walk. From the gospel being lived out in people around you. People who are in your life, you say, I see God working in and through them. A righteousness being revealed. In grade one, I was very sick with hepatitis. I was in hospital and then in bed in the kitchen on the farm at home. And I remember laying in that bed in the kitchen for, I don't know, it felt like weeks. I don't even remember exactly how long it was. But it was interesting because there's things out of that process that I remember. I remember the faith of my mom and dad as they prayed for me regularly. As they gathered around the table. The table was just beside me there in the kitchen eating meals. I think I was a part of their regular prayer at mealtime. And some of you would know, maybe you don't, but my pastor and his wife at that point, Elmer and Maddie Swatson-Trevor, one of their daughters actually was here last week. And godly, loving, wonderful couple. And I distinctly remember, I don't know how many times, but several times when they came and spent time with mom and dad, gathering around my bed and praying for me. And I don't remember if they anointed me with oil. If they did, I don't remember that. But I remember that example and that witness of faith. Faith through prayer. And I remember, and mom and dad told me afterward, they thought I was going to die. They had lost a child earlier in life before I was born. And they thought I was going to die. And yet prayed with faith, believing that God would heal. I remember their faith, that example of faith. Read the book of Genesis, and you see the faith of Abraham. And Abraham boggles my mind in so many ways. God says, I want you to leave your homeland and go. And he took his family and his animals and da-da-da, and he went, not having a clue where God was taking him. I like to know my destination. I like to know where I'm going. And what faith. 99 years old, and God had said, you're going to have a child. You and Sarah, Abraham, you're going to have a child. And he's 99, he still doesn't have a child. Goodness, that's faith. And he did. Jacob was born. Celebrate and learn from the life of Jesus. His faith. His example of faith as he cast out demons, as he healed the sick, as he fed the 5,000 from a small basket or bag of lunch. I'm challenged by the faith of a friend of mine, Pastor Theo Bagugu from the Congo. Got to know him several years ago in Fort Erie. A man who has walked through hell on earth. And yet remains with a faith and a joy in his life that blows me away. One of his daughters, strapped to his back as he's riding a scooter, shot, stray bullet, and all of a sudden realized that she was dead on his back, imprisoned multiple times. the last time before he fled the country as a refugee, beaten to the point where the guards didn't want him to die in jail. So they took him in a vehicle, dumped him out on the road in front of the hospital. And God had other plans and happened to bring a nurse out of the hospital on a shift, late shift, going home, found him. And anyway, God just had a different plan for his life. I struggle to understand the faith of a gentleman who will say, but my God is faithful, and I will continue to be faithful to him. The righteous will live by faith. And that doesn't mean they're perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. He did some dumb moves. Pastor Theo is not perfect. My parents, my pastor was not perfect, nor am I. But they were faithful. They grew in faith. They desired to grow in their faith and walk with God. And we need to hear those stories. We need to hear each other's stories. And that's, again, why I appreciated so much the last couple Sundays of hearing people share their stories, because those are things that build my faith. Prayer, number three, vital building block of faith. Over and over, Scripture says or calls us to pray. Paul commands us to pray continually. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray without ceasing. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer as we call it. Jesus reminded his disciples of the need to pray with faith, to have the faith. Remember, they tried to cast out a demon, couldn't do it. They came to Jesus and said, why? You know, what's going on? And he says, this can only be done through prayer, to have the faith that he needed. Prayer, answers to prayer, build my faith. And sometimes the challenge is unanswered prayer. And those can be challenges of struggling in faith and of saying, but God, why? And we have to say, but my faith is stronger than simply the answer or the no answer. Prayer draws me into a deeper relationship with and an awareness of God. Prayer allows me to listen with deeper awareness, with a deeper clarity, to trust more fully. Prayer, spending time in God's presence, is such a vital piece of spiritual growth, I believe, for each one of us. And we're going to come back to that one later in the spring in terms of prayer. Number four, building our faith, refining your character. Refining our character, it's a process where you and God get together and say, are we ready to work together? It's not just me and it's not just God. It's a working together. Transforming our character, transforming our attitudes, our actions. When our boys were young, Transformers were the thing. And they're coming back. Yeah, they're back in style again. A few movies are out these days. But my guys used to love these things. You know, they could take that car and they go, and all of a sudden it's like, super action hero, you know, this robot. It was like, that's kind of neat. I could never do it. I'd end up with one leg out here, and it just didn't seem to ever work when I tried to do that. Now, that's not exactly what God desires with you and me. No. But he does want to transform us. He does want to change us. He does want to remold, redesign, reform us into the image of Jesus. What does the Apostle Paul say about this transformation? 2 Peter 1. And again, just going to read a few of these verses. For this very reason, make every effort. Make every effort. Now we're talking to me, and he's talking to you. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes choice. God says, you're going to do your part? You need to choose. You need to make every effort. I will do the transforming. Are you willing? Not easy. I need to strive to make goodness a part of my life, self-control, perseverance, to be a part of my character, my lifestyle. And that's a challenge, because I can choose tomorrow to rip into that colleague because they just messed up that project. What do I choose? I can jump all over my friend's face because they just made a poor decision. Or will I choose with God's strength to bite my tongue, support and love and care and support them as they walk through the outcome of that decision and that action? Prayer is key. My dependence on God is key, because it's my effort, my decision, allowing God to transform me. Check out Galatians 5 this week, by the way, and hold it up against 1 Peter 1. And you will see how so many of these qualities are exactly the same as the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5. How does he change us? He changes us from within through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Fruit that comes. And I also want to challenge you with one more thing. I would like to challenge you to make this scripture part of your prayer life over the next couple of weeks. And just change the word rather than a command to a prayer. To say, Father, give me the strength. Give me the focus. Give me the willingness to allow, to make every effort to add to my faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Father, give me, enable me to grow. And I believe as we pray that prayer, God will do a work in your life and in my life. And finally, building faith through obedience. I always chuckle a little when I read James, because he's a little blunt. And I wonder if he was blunt as that in real life when we sat, if he'd sit down with him and talk over a meal. James 2. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, yeah, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone would say, well, I have faith, I have deeds. You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And then as he goes down to the end of this little section, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Could you just tell me what you really think, James? Wow. Faith, deeds. And as I was putting my report together for the AGM, and we're just sort of reflecting over this past year of the gathering, I believe we have heard God's call to serve and to love and to act. To do. I believe God has moved us to a point where we can see others through his eyes of compassion. Think of the way that God has worked in you and me as a body. Serving, loving. Is there more to be done? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's always more to be done. But in this building block of growing in faith, it's not just about packing MCC school kits. It's not just about making lunches on Tuesday night and serving them on Wednesday mornings. It's a humble desire to live our full, complete lives in obedience and action, following what God desires us to do. Jesus, what's your call on my life today as I walk into the office? Who do you want me to befriend today, to have coffee with, to love today? Who do you desire to change because of my support and encouragement today and my love? What do you want to teach me today, Father? What are you wanting to do in my life? What are you going to teach me through that person that I'm working with? God, what do you want me to avoid today so that I don't need to fight with temptation? What is it that you want me to divert my eyes from? Father, Jesus, we say this, we've used this as part of a prayer time. Jesus, be before me, be behind me, beside me, over me, be in me, be all in me. Obedience. Father, give me the strength, the willingness to walk in obedient love today. Actions and faith blended together in holiness because of the Holy Spirit in me. Grow spiritually, grow in faith. That's God's desire for you. It's God's desire for me. And as we move into communion, communion is a step of faith. It is. It's an act of obedience. We're going to share together in communion this morning, and so appropriate to do this as a part of Valentine's Day coming up, because Christ's death on the cross, as we celebrate the cup and the bread this morning, it is the most perfect, wonderful example of love that we could ever see and we could ever share around. So we're going to invite the worship team to come up and just lead us in a very short piece of a song here before we then move into communion.
Table. table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. He says, come just as you are to his table.
I'm just going to invite you to be seated. We're invited to the table of the Lord. There's peace, there's healing, there's wholeness at the table. Luke chapter 22, as Christ was preparing for the cross, he knew what he was going toward and moving toward. He chose to celebrate the Passover with his disciples, and it was a time of celebration, of feasting, of gathering together with a group of friends that he loved and he found heart and time to leave. And as he gathered, as they had finished the main meal, Luke writes this, when the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul reaffirms and restates that happening. But in conclusion, he makes this one statement. He says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We remember, we look back, we proclaim, but we also look forward to that time when Christ will return. And so we invite you to come and to share at the table of the Lord this morning. To gather, to celebrate, to remember, to look back, to look ahead, to celebrate Christ and his death on the cross, his salvation, his blood shed, his body broken for you and for me. So let's take a moment to pray. Father, on these tables we have a loaf of bread and a cup. Thank you for those symbols, reminders of Christ's suffering for us, his body pierced, dying, his blood shed, so that we could be free, so that we could know the freedom of salvation. We praise you for that, Father. And thank you, Jesus, for being obedient even unto death on a cross, for taking and paying the price for my sin. And so, Father, as we gather around these tables, Lord, we pray your blessing on the bread and on the cup. I pray, God, your blessing on each one here who shares and participates in this table. Let us eat and let us drink together with thanks. As I say, we invite you to share around the table. Some of you say, well, this is my first time here, I don't know. My encouragement to you would be, if you know Jesus, if you're choosing to walk with him and serve and love him, come and share. He invites you to the table. There's healing, there's peace, there's joy at the table. You will see four tables around the room, and we would just invite you to move to a table that's closest to you. 20-25, we don't want all of you at one table, so just spread out and come, and the leader there will give instructions. Take a moment. And while we share in communion, Amanda will be leading in worship. And if you say, well, I'm just not sure if I'm going to participate, you're just welcome as well to sit in your chair and just to pray and to fellowship. And after we're done, we'll gather back together at our chairs. invite you. You just turn me down there.
body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so
Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Our hope is in you, we've just sung. We got to go with that confidence and that faith. Our hope, there's our hope, we know. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. We're going to just two reminders, and then we're going to pray for the noon meal as well. And just again, invite you to stay for the next fellowship around the table. That was just for extra emphasis. Reminder that if you would like to have a directory, or if you're not sure how to get onto the directory, there was some information in the email newsletter that was sent out. You can get it online. You can pick a copy up at the back. Donation, charitable receipts are available. We would encourage you to pick those up so it saves the mailing. And let's pray a blessing on the meal. Father, thank you that we could gather around the table of the Lord this morning and share communion together. What a privilege, what a blessing, and we give you praise for that. And Lord, as we gather around the tables now to eat this meal together with the kids joining us as well, Lord, bless our time, bless our fellowship, bless our conversation, and we pray as well your blessing on the food. May you give us strength from it. Bless those who have prepared it. And again, just be present among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.